Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Foster Inclusion Podcast, and thank you so much for joining me. I'm your host, Saida Gomez-Fleury. In this episode, I speak to Victoria Jenikant about life in Switzerland. Victoria was born and raised in Brazil and lived in California before coming to Geneva in 2015. She's also in the process of becoming a Swiss citizen. As you know, I became a Swiss citizen at the beginning of the year. So, in light of the upcoming Swiss National Day on August 1st, we decided to record an episode to discuss life in Geneva and how living in a new country has allowed us to learn more about ourselves. We even discuss some of our experiences navigating different cultural contexts. Hi, Victoria. How are you today?
I'm good. And you?
I'm good. Thank you. I'm so happy that we have nice weather because we went through a few weeks of
rain.
Like forever. Yeah.
It was so weird. I was telling like my coworkers the other day, it's not like July. It's like March or something.
I know. My husband and I went up to Normandy to visit his parents, not last weekend, the weekend before, and it rained the entire time driving there and then coming back. It was dreadful. It took like 10 hours with our daughter in the back seat, and we had to stop and change her diaper. God. It was horrible.
No, that the rain was really not nice. Like, this is not summer. Where is summer?
I know.
Please bring summer.
Bring summer. And then we had flooding. I think it was last weekend, the weather got a bit better, and then we had flooding. So, I mean, I didn't get a chance to go to the lake or anything, which kind of sucked, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hopefully it's going to... The good weather is going to stick around for a while.
Yeah, hopefully.
Hopefully, yeah. Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. But thanks again so much for reaching out to me. This is, I guess, like a really special episode in preparation for Swiss National Day on August 1st. I mentioned in a previous episode that I recently became a Swiss citizen, and you are in the process of becoming a Swiss citizen. So I'm thinking of calling this newly Swiss and soon to be Swiss.
That's a good name.
Is it? It's not too cheesy, is it?
It's like the right amount of cheesy.
I'm queen of cheese. I'm like, I own it fully. I'm not trying to be cool anymore. I just embrace my nerdiness. So I guess like leading up to this, I'd like to know how long you've been in Switzerland, because we met briefly a few years ago, but we haven't had a chance to really like exchange and compare our experiences. Can you tell the listeners how long you've been here?
Yeah, sure. So I've been here since 2015. I arrived in June 2015. We were just talking about summer before. I remember the day I arrived here. It was 35 degrees. And I was wondering, oh, this is Switzerland then. The summer is real summer. So that was funny. So I'm Brazilian. And I was born and raised in Brazil. And I came to Switzerland because my husband is Swiss, and we met while we were both studying in California. That was back in 2013, seems like ages ago now.
Yeah.
So, long story short, I came to live with him in Geneva in 2015. So it's been 6 years now.
6 years. It's always like, I find that for the people, for the expats that I know, there's always a love story in there somewhere. Like, I met my husband while studying in university as well. Only he's French, he's not Swiss. But that's how we met. And then we ended up here in Switzerland. But it seems that like that love connection is something that actually gets people to move from one country to another.
Yeah, it's quite, it's not that unusual, apparently.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm very happy for you guys. So what has your adaptation experience been so far?
So far has been great, I think. I'm pretty adaptable in general. even when I left Brazil to go to California, I did not have a hard time adapting there. When I came here, though, the problem was the language. That was the first thing that hit me because I didn't speak French. So the first thing I decided was that if I'm going to live here, I'm going to learn this language. It was really hard, but I could have a like basic conversation with people after maybe 3-4 months.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I was intensively studying. It was the only thing I did because at that time we were going through the marriage process and I wasn't allowed to work. I had the permit to stay in the country, but I couldn't work.
I had that too when I first got here.
Yeah, so I had all this time. So I just said, okay, let's invest and let's immerse in this language course. So I learned French for a proper intensive course for 6 months. And it was every day, 3 hours per day plus homework. And I had, of course, my husband and his family and his friends who were all speaking French around me all the time. And it was a very difficult process. Like, I laugh now because, of course, in retrospect, it was a good experience. But at the time, it was very, very difficult. Like, you go out, you want to have a good time. Someone tells a joke. You don't understand anything. Everyone's laughing. And you're like, what? And it's so awkward. But it was worth it. I was able to pick up French because people only spoke French to me. Like, of course, everyone speaks a bit of English, but if you're in a group of friends, people are going to speak English for maybe 5 minutes and then they're going to switch back to French and you just have to do your best to keep up with the conversation. So it was a shock treatment, but it worked.
But it worked. So how many languages do you speak?
Now I speak three.
Wow.
I speak Portuguese, is my mother tongue. And then I learned English while I was still in Brazil. And then I learned French here.
Good for you. I started speaking French when I was a kid. My parents sent me to a French immersion school. And I did it reluctantly because, I mean, in my context in Toronto, it's an Anglophone environment. So it was really weird to go to school and learn French and then not apply any of my learnings at home or like with my friends in my building or when I went grocery shopping. So it felt very strange. I couldn't imagine in your situation how it could have been challenging to be just like thrown into the fire and just, you know, speaking French and learning French at the same time in order to be social and to like carry on with your life here.
Yeah, it was exactly that I felt that I had no choice. It's, okay, if I'm going to live here, if I'm going to make my life here, I have to learn this. Like, I wanted to work and I wanted to have friends and I wanted to be able to go out and do things by myself. So that was the attitude I had. I just went in 110%. I still have a very strong accent, but people understand me. So that's the most important thing.
That's good. And how has your adaptation been with respect to your commune where you live and in Geneva?
My adaptation as a whole, I found that it was good. Actually, I find that I fit in better here than I ever fitted in Brazil, which is weird.
Weird. Yeah. And please expand on that. I'd like to know why.
Yeah, of course. I don't think I can point my finger exactly why, but there's several aspects. So at first when I came here, we lived in Geneva. So like more center of Geneva. And it was still big city.
Yeah.
Not huge. I'm from São Paulo. It's like more than 11 million inhabitants. So Geneva for me is a small village.
Yeah.
People say it's the smallest big city in the world or something like that. So I liked it. There was still this urban sense to the city. I enjoyed it a lot. And then eventually I moved out of the city of Geneva and I moved a bit more to the countryside. I live now in Confignon, which is next to Bernay.
Yeah, neighbors,
you live
totally.
In Bernay, right?
Yeah.
And that was a difference. Like, I never thought that me, like a huge city girl that I've always been, living in this total peaceful little village because it's so small. But I really like it. I like living here. I'm still close to the public transportation. I can get downtown in 20 minutes with the tram. So that's, in that sense, for me, it was fine. And I like the fact that it's peaceful and I can have access to everything at the same time. So I kind of have the best of both worlds. I jog, so I can go out for a run in the morning and the landscapes are beautiful.
Yeah.
So I always try to see the positive, which I think helped me a lot. I didn't really see a lot of negatives here. And while I'm talking about the positives and the negatives, it's different when people come for work, for instance, and they don't have the same social welcoming, I would say. Because since my husband was from here, then he knew people. He was able to introduce me to people who eventually became my friends as well. And it's easier on the, people are social beings. It's hard not to have your little circle of friends or being away from people that you used to hang out with. So that was easier. I had people to talk to. I had people to go out with. Even if in the beginning they were like, okay, they're my husband's friends.
Yeah.
But then eventually you grow into, and then they become your friends too. And then you are already feeling good. So you go out and you do other things. And then you're able to meet more people. So today I have my friends who are my husband's friends. And I also have my friends that I made by myself.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And what did you do to go out and meet new friends? Because I've heard a lot of people say to me that it's really tough to make friends in Geneva.
Yeah, that's what I hear from my friends and acquaintances who came here for work because they didn't know anyone. Yeah. They're like, oh my God, how do I do to meet people? And apparently, yeah, it is challenging. But what I did is that sports. I am a lot of friends that I have here, I met at the gym. I did CrossFit for 2 years.
So where did you go to CrossFit here? I've heard a lot about it, but I've never actually done it because I've been afraid of like hurting myself.
Oh, yeah. Actually, no, you won't. I used to do it near the Gare Carnaval.
Okay.
In the Rue de Lyon.
Yeah.
There's a place there that's the CrossFit GVA. I did 2 years of CrossFit there.
Oh, wow.
It was great. You start very, you build yourself up. They will never tell you, oh, come here and lift like 100 kilos. So you start with your own pace and you evolve following, you respect your limitations and you grow. So I really liked it. And it's really a little community. You meet a lot of people and people are normally very, very nice. And it's a nice little activity if you want to do that in the morning or at the end of the day.
And did you see like a huge body transformation? We're not going to dwell too much on CrossFit, but I'm a little bit intrigued. Did you see like a big body transformation?
I still train. I don't do CrossFit anymore, but I go to the gym regularly. And I definitely felt that I got more like toned and I lost fat. I don't do any crazy diets. That's not for me. I like
me
to
neither.
Live my life and eat nice barbecue and have a drink at night. But even if I still were, if I was not really dieting, I definitely felt a difference on my body.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I will keep it in mind. I started doing a lot of Pilates and yoga when I first moved here. And up until like lockdowns and like they had to close all of the Pilates classes and stuff, I was going very consistently, even while I was pregnant. And you're right, it is a great way to meet people, especially as a mom, like different tips and stuff like that. It was it was very, very helpful in my prenatal pregnancy or prenatal Pilates class.
Yeah. That's good to know.
Yeah, totally. So you mentioned that you still like to eat and enjoy life and stuff. And we do live in a region where there are lots of vineyards.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite wine?
Yes, I do. I would have to say my favorite wine in Geneva, especially in like this area, is the Rosé Prestige from Domaine de Curiade.
Okay.
That's the main rosé wine that I drink during summer. I love their rosé. It's really, really nice and it does not give a headache the next day.
Ah,
It's really good. I really recommend it.
Say it again slowly.
So it's called José Prestige.
Yeah.
And the domain is called Domaine de Curiade.
Domaine de Curiade. Curiade. José Prestige. Yeah. Okay.
They are in Lully, near us.
Yeah, down the hill.
Yeah, down the hill.
We discovered one. Actually, it's on Rue de Bernay. It's called Domaine de Beauvent, I think.
Oh, Domaine de Beauvent. Yes, yeah. I know it.
And they have a red called Champfleury. And it's actually quite nice on a, like, just, you know, casually on a Sunday afternoon for lunch or something. It's a nice wine because I prefer reds in general. Whites mm-hmm. and rosés always give me headaches, but I will
try this one.
Yeah. So, one thing that, like, there's so many differences between that I noticed between my life in Canada and Toronto and here in Switzerland. One thing that really stood out for me was media. Like, I'm accustomed to Toronto's a relatively big city. The GTA is quite big. And so, like, if I go downtown Toronto, there are billboards everywhere, there are flashing lights everywhere. And so when I moved here, and then when we moved to the country, it was weird to not see and not be bombarded with all of these media images. What was that like for you in Brazil? And how does that compare to, like, your experience here?
Yeah, so the same. Like, from big city, you are used to seeing all this, everything that you said, and like big screens and the billboards. Even though São Paulo, I do not remember exactly which year there was a law to try to decrease this sort of visual pollution, and they had now there's a lot of rules and regulations that you have to observe in order to put an advertisement, and you know this kind of the huge ones, you know,
yeah.
Like you can have smaller ones, but you still. In a really big city, and there's still a lot of things to see. And here, everything is so clean, I find.
I know.
I remember the first time I came here, I was in the car with my husband, and we were driving in Eau Vive. And I remember seeing all those little balconies with the little flowers, and all the flowers are the same. I figured, I said, like, is it a law that you have to keep, you know, the facade of your building consistent? And he laughed, and he said, no. I said, just people just keep it like that. How is it possible? You know, like you never really see it. In São Paulo, there are actually rules in buildings where you live that you have to keep your, like, you cannot put things on your balcony that is going to make, you know, like not consistent with the rest of the building. So I figured that here was the exact same thing. And he said, like, no, people just make it look nice. So I was like, oh, that's great. But everything's like so, so clean. And the buildings are not very big. They are not super high.
Yeah.
They all have this. Very like the consistency of the city, I find it very nice. And every time there is a very high building, you see it and you're like, why? It's an eyesore.
Yeah,
why did they do that?
Yeah, totally. And like I'd grown up in a climate where I would see like political ads and stuff on television, and here, and especially now, I find that the information is disseminated so well. But you're not overwhelmed by it. So I have I think it's called vote.ch app that gives mm-hmm. me like a list of all the votations in every single region, the arguments for. Yeah, exactly. So how else do you, for example, keep abreast of things that are going on in the commune or at the federal level or in the canton? Do you have like special media outlets that you prefer?
So I really like politics, and I've always liked it. Even when I was in Brazil, like I always keep up with it. When I was in the United States, the same, I was keeping up with what was happening. I moved here, like it was no different. I started getting to know how it worked, and I admire their system so much.
Yeah.
It's so participative. You actually have the impression that you are really making a difference and your vote really counts. And so, yeah, I have that app, but I would say that my favorite way of getting, like, political news, I would have to say that it's the, like, it's internet, especially Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
Believe me or not, I followed all the politicians on Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
And I see what they write. And I follow, of course, the newspaper and the TV channels like Le Monde Bleu or the RTS. And I watch their little short videos. I'm a huge fan of Infrarouge. A lot of people don't like it because they say, no, they don't have enough time to actually debate, which is true. It's a bit of a pity.
Yeah.
But I find that it's a good way of you seeing always both sides of the arguments, and then you can do the rest of the research for yourself. Those are the ways that I mainly keep up with it.
Yeah, totally. And the other thing I discovered recently with the last votation, which was, I think it was in June, maybe? It was not too long ago. Mm-hmm. There was the issue on the pesticides. Mm-hmm. And so I did a lot of reading. I don't necessarily follow figures. I'm more interested in issues as opposed to what people have to say about them. And so I did as much reading as possible. And one thing that I really appreciated about Bernay is that there's so many local shops that it's possible to ask a few questions to say like the butcher shop here, mm-hmm. you know, what do you think of this? How does it affect you? And the butcher shop owner, she said, you know, like, this is the system we currently have in place. And because of this, here's how we see it. I'm not going to say specifically what she said, but she gave me, I think, a very insightful and sort of hands-on frontline perspective of the situation. And I was like, this is one of the things that I really enjoy about living in a small village and local life. Like, you know people, you speak to people, there's the ability to have conversations without getting upset or without the conversation becoming too polarizing.
Yeah, that's true. I agree with you. And I also have the impression that even the decision-making bodies and the actual politicians, they are much more accessible here. During their campaign, they are actually on the street, you know, they take the bus, they take the tram, they walk, they go, they do their groceries, and you see them. So you can approach and ask your question. And that's also something that is very, that's great here. Like in Brazil, you never see a politician just in the supermarket buying some milk or something. You'd never see that. And I also find that it's not, you can actually have a good conversation with people that are actually affected by the votes that we are passing. Me personally, I haven't had the chance of voting yet, because ever since I got my C permit, which would give me the right to participate in my commune politics, there hasn't been any votes in the commune of Confignon, so I couldn't do it. So I might even become Swiss before I'm able to vote with my permit. So that's interesting. But yeah, I agree. It's a good environment to find out and to give opinions. And even when we receive, my husband receives his voting envelope, I always read the brochure, and I find so nice that they actually put everything in there, the opinions of all the parties and the actual text of the law and what's going to change. I find that they make everything very clear and very practical for people to vote.
Yeah.
Which shocks me sometimes to see the amount, the percentage of people who do not vote. I was like, oh my God, you have everything to vote. The thing comes to your house.
Yeah, it's a very, very, very inclusive process. Mm-hmm. And in each village, you see the big bulletin board with military service and pertinent information about things coming up. I find it actually a little ironic that that information related to civic duties is super accessible here. And in Toronto, where there was so much media bombardment all the time, for me, it seemed a little more difficult to access mm-hmm. that type of information. I really feel I belong to something bigger. Like you said, everyone can participate in this process.
Yeah, exactly. But before, when you're in Brazil, it's exactly what you said. There's so much advertisement and everything they put to, in the period of election. But when you're trying to dig a little deeper to know exactly what the issue is, or where are the debates and everything, like where is the material, where can I find more information? If you are really not 100% determined to go and try to find it, you're not going to find it. Because people just try to move you towards a yes or a no, or this person or that person, that everything gets manipulated. And it kind of becomes a cloud, like a fog, and you don't really know what to do. And I find that here you can really access information quite easily towards, well, at least in this part of, you know, the political engagement and voting.
Yeah, yeah, totally. So what does it mean to you to become Swiss or to be Swiss?
For me, it's really because I feel like I belong.
Yeah.
It's a very, now I'm going to be cheesy.
Cheese.
I'm going to be super cheesy. I really feel like I am home.
Yeah.
I feel like I came, like I adapted. I speak French now. I go to the marché in the morning. I talk to everyone. I feel like I belong. And I told you before, like I don't know if it was during the settings or whatever, that there were certain things that I felt that made me very weird in Brazil, and then here I feel like, oh, it fits right in.
Yeah.
And I had that click in my head, and for me it would be really like the cherry on top of the cake to actually be acknowledged. Oh, okay, you're a citizen now, because I really feel that I belong, and I just really love living here, and I would like to contribute, and you know, be like 100% part of the community as a citizen.
I've had my ups and downs here. I've had some experiences that weren't so positive, and after a period of reflection, I realized that, firstly, the people weren't necessarily Swiss, but I have to say that, like, the citizenship process and having to study and writing the essay about why you want to become Swiss, like, is such a, for me, it was a time of, like, deep reflection, you know, like, why do I really want to do this? What can I potentially offer, you know, my society or this society, and what do I receive in return? And like that started really clicking. And when I finally like wrote the test, and then I think it was January or February, we got the document saying that we're Swiss. I just felt this big sense of belonging all of a sudden. Like it's something that I know that I took for granted, being born and raised in Canada, voting, etc. Like, it was never, to me, it was just a given. But here I had to actually work through a process. I had to consider realistically the things that I enjoyed and the things that I didn't enjoy. And going through that, sort of like breaking through and realizing why I wanted to be here with my pregnancy and the birth of my daughter, and then the completion with, you know, you're a citizen now, was one of the most special things to me ever. And I guess now I take my civic duties even more seriously because I feel like I've earned them. Like, they weren't just given to me because I was born here. Like, I've actually had to work really hard for them.
Yeah, that's beautiful, actually. To think that was the process that led you to get your citizenship, and then after you click and you say, yeah, everything makes sense.
Yeah, totally.
I'm where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah, exactly.
And for how long have you been in Switzerland?
We moved in 2008, and initially, do you remember it? Have you met Natalia? She has a podcast called Expat Immigrant.
No, I have not met her.
And she asked me like similar questions. And I think she brought up, she was like, did you think you were going to stay this long, or did you think you'd go back? And I was like, actually, no. Like, I thought I would have stayed like initially I thought I'd be here for like maybe 2 years. And then it was like, oh, maybe 5 years. And then I was like, no, I'm here. Like, I didn't have that sense of like, this is where I'm going to settle down when I came initially. And so now when I look back, I'm like, wow, this has been a true journey. Like, I didn't feel like this is where I was meant to be initially. I really experienced life here to say with certainty, yes, like I enjoy being here and I'm going to apply for citizenship. But yeah, it's been 13 years so far.
Yeah, what were 2 years at the beginning became 13.
Exactly. 2 years became 13, became a marriage, became a baby, became a home. Like,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting how life develops.
Yeah, totally. So
not the same.
I don't want to get in too deep or anything, but do you find that you're more attuned to social constructs now that you've like lived properly in actually three different regions, Sao Paulo, California, and here? Do you see the social constructs a bit more?
What do you mean by social constructs?
Okay, almost like the rules or the theater that's laid out before you, like certain people take on certain roles within a given context. And so for me, for example, one thing that stood out when I go back, well, before COVID, when I would go back and visit Toronto was like this sort of notion of ghetto or acting black or what these things are supposed to mean versus like who the individual actually is. And for me, what stood out was, again, like television and advertising, like these messages that kind of reinforce certain roles that people play. And me, of course, struggling because I'm like super nerdy, super cheesy. I'm like, wait, I look like that, but I don't feel like that on the inside. So I was wondering if you too kind of noticed these different roles and stuff within society because you've had that recul, as they say in French, mm-hmm. You've had the opportunity to take a step back and just sort of observe.
Yes, totally. In Brazil, I have the impression that the society carries a lot more prejudice and a lot of more stereotypes towards everyone.
Yeah.
And I grew up there. So for me, it was normal.
Exactly.
Up until the time I left.
Yeah.
And the first time I left Brazil, I went to the United States. And I already felt that there was a difference. I was like, okay, things here are different. But in the States, there is this kind of, oh my God, if there are Americans listening to this. I feel that people put themselves in boxes a lot.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're black, you're going to hang out with black people.
Yeah,
if you're white, you're going to hang out with white people. If you're Asian, you're going to hang out with Asian people. And as soon as people mix a bit more, there is this kind of sense of, that's strange. Why are they doing this? It's very weird. So I even remember that when I was in San Francisco, we went out to parties or a bar or something, and the only guys who hit on me were black guys. And I came from a context that, like, in Brazil, there was nobody hitting on me because black women are so rejects of Brazilian society.
Really?
Yeah. It's, of course, again, exceptions to every rule.
Yeah.
But in general, not a huge hit with the guys. And then I moved to the United States, and that was different. Like, you are totally accepted, but there is still this separation.
Yeah.
And then when I came to Europe, I'm not going to say, like, it went completely away, but a big part of it. I felt like here it was the first time that I felt that people looked at me as just a woman. And I mentioned this to a lot of people already. I said, this is really looking at someone and saying, okay, this is a person. Like, I've been seen as an individual and not as a part of a group. And again, it's not everyone who's going to do it, but I find that the majority, they don't have all this cultural baggage that we have, like, that we had in Brazil or in the US.
Yeah.
The context, the cultural context is different.
Yeah.
So the stereotypes are not the same. And for me, it was an extremely positive experience. I felt like a weight got off my shoulders.
That's fascinating.
I was like, I can actually be myself. There is no expectation of behaving a certain way or liking certain things. Like in Brazil, you're black and you don't like this type of music or you don't like to do this type of thing. People don't even know what to do with you. They're like, why are you weird? Why can't you just be like all the other ones? Yeah. I just want to be myself. And I felt like I was really allowed to be myself.
Yeah.
And it goes again to why I think sometimes that I feel like I belong. Like, it's just that people don't have the same baggage. They just see you as a person.
Yeah. So more like local Swiss stuff. What do you prefer? Cup or Migros?
I'm a cup person.
Yeah, me too.
And I changed. I became a cup person. I was definitely a Migros person before, simply because it was closer to my previous apartment. But then they opened a cup and then I could choose because the distance was the same. I was like, oh, should I try the cup? And then I started trying the cup and then I became a cup person.
Yeah.
Now I'm 100% a cup.
I've always been a cup person. Always, always, always. Actually, what is, I've never traveled to Brazil. I've never been to Sao Paulo. What is like grocery shopping like in Brazil compared to here?
Oh, it's a completely different experience. Like for a big city, you have the huge supermarkets.
Yeah.
You know,
a bit
like France where you have the Carrefour.
Yeah.
That's exactly what we have in São Paulo. It's a huge, huge centers and you have everything in there. The thing is just huge. And then here I just felt, oh, this is so small.
Yeah,
like I definitely had the shock between the big city and small city. That was something I adapted. But again, I never looked at it in a kind of a very negative way. I was just trying to adapt. Okay, here it's like that.
Yeah.
And in São Paulo, you also have everything that is open like 24/7.
Yeah.
And here it's not like that. If you want to buy something on Sunday, good luck.
Yeah.
So yeah, those things I had to adapt.
I think that's a common story. Like within the first maybe 2 weeks or so, because I had never planned my grocery shopping ever. And so, like, I just carried that bad habit with me when I moved here. And I remember it was like Sunday at like 3 o'clock or something. And I was like, oh, maybe I'll just go to the grocery store.
I'm like, nope.
No.
No, you're not.
And I thought, oh, okay. And the other thing, too, is that, like, I think this is the same for a lot of North America. The foods, I find, are highly processed compared to the foods here. And so, like, when I moved, I lost weight without even trying. Like, I ate very well. I still eat very well. And I find that, like, the ingredients used and the processing is different. And so, like, from that perspective, it took me time to adapt to like grocery shopping here. But from that perspective, I was just like, hey, this place is great. Like,
yes. So when I came here, so in Brazil, things are easier, like fruits and vegetables, they're very cheap and you can get them and you have the variety that you want. It's available. But when I lived in California, that's where it was really a shock for me in terms of food, because as you said, everything's very processed. For you to actually find something that is organic or even just something that's like local, it was so difficult.
Yeah.
And here, it's kind of easy. Even if you go to the Co-op, you can find something that is local and you, oh, okay, I have the choice. I can buy this one that is from, I don't know, Germany. Or I can buy this that is from Geneva.
Yeah.
And that I found very, very nice.
Yeah, totally. Totally, totally, totally. Okay. What do you love most about life in Geneva? Like most, maybe your top like two or three things.
Definitely safety first.
Oh yeah.
I find it a very safe city. But again, that's me coming from São Paulo that is not so safe compared to Geneva. So for me, that was a huge this was a huge deal that I can take a bus alone at 1 in the morning.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get home safely and no one's going to really bother me. Of course, there are always exceptions to the rule, but in general, it's very safe. So that would definitely be my number one. My number two, I find that it's a very kind of it's a peaceful place. You have, okay, now there's COVID, so not so many festivals.
Yeah.
But I really find that if it's, you have all these village parties, and if you're in the city, you have all these festivals, and you have concerts, especially during summer. You have the parks, a lot of places where you can just hang out with your friends and have a drink. Everything is very close because it's small.
Yeah.
So it's very, as we say in French, convivial.
Oui, tout à fait.
So that, yeah, that would definitely be, yeah, that's a second. And a third, I don't know. It's beautiful. I like the closeness of the city and the country. So if you want, you're in the city 20 minutes, not even that, you can do a hike.
Yeah.
Not even. Like if you're in the near the Rhône, you can just take a hike in the middle of the woods. So this closeness to nature, it's very special.
Yeah, totally.
It's not every city that has that.
Yeah, totally.
So yeah, those are my top three.
My top picks change, like, as I evolve, and especially with having a child, like, because I think of her, like, first and foremost, and, like, the crèche, the level of education that she has already at such a young age, I find it to be outstanding. It's so holistic, and one thing I've grown to appreciate here is low time preference, which is... Things don't move super fast, which is what I was accustomed to. Things move slowly. And initially it's like, well, like, for example, why don't you just open the stores on Sundays, you know? And then with time, I realized, actually, you know, there is something to like a lower time preference, well thought out strategic approach to things instead of just go, 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 go. And so that's one thing that I'm like just continuing to appreciate with time. It could be age as well, but it's something that I really love. That and music festivals as well, before COVID, of course.
Yeah.
Those
are always nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just shocked at like the type of musical acts that came through here. So for me, preconceived notion, before I moved to Switzerland, I didn't really know much about the country. And I suppose I just assumed that people would like yodel, or I thought of Sound of Music, you know, like I was very, very ignorant. And so when I saw artists that I grew up listening to, I used to listen to a lot of like rap, hip hop in the 90s, like A Tribe Called Quest and De La Soul and like my favorite singer, D'Angelo. When I saw that acts like that came through, I was like, what is this place? Like this magical little country where not only do artists come to perform, they actually feel comfortable speaking with their fans. Like this country to me is also very magical. And that's one of my favorite things as well. Like as I experience things, I uncover these little treasures that I didn't know existed.
Yeah, totally agree. Totally agree. I think you have to live here to know.
Yeah.
because as you said, I think the stereotype of Switzerland is kind of like, you know, mountains, boring, yodo.
Yeah.
And then when you actually hear, you see that it's something else.
Yeah, definitely. And so last question before we wrap it up. What or have you learned anything about yourself that you didn't know before actually moving to Switzerland?
Yeah, I was thinking about that question. I would have to say that I'm a planner,
yeah,
and I've always known that I've always been a person that plans, but it actually got much more, I noticed that more when I moved here. I don't know why. Like before, it was just something that, you know, I kind of did it automatically. And then I moved here. I don't know if it was because I started living with someone else. Like I started living with my husband and maybe he started picking it up. And then I was like, oh, I became aware of it.
Yeah.
But before I was like not so aware of it. And I find that that goes pretty well with Geneva. I find it goes pretty well with the Swiss lifestyle. Just plan things. Like I plan everything. Yeah. And sometimes it's even to the degree that it can be annoying to other people. But yeah, I would say that.
Yeah.
That was definitely something. It's not that I didn't know. I kind of knew in the back of my mind, but never really paid attention to until I became completely aware of it after I came here. I think it's just because it fit. You know, like it got, there was this fit. Oh, they're also like that. Yeah. Okay, so it's fine. And me too.
I'm right where I belong.
Yeah, exactly. Like with the other planners.
Totally. Have your parents come to visit?
Yeah. My parents, they used to come before COVID. They used to come once a year and they would always stay around 2 weeks. Normally at the end of the year, you know, for Christmas. I don't have such a huge family in Brazil and I'm an only child. So my parents would come, we would spend like Christmas, New Year. We would do some traveling around. So yeah, they do. And this time, yeah, because of COVID, then they couldn't come. And I'm still struggling. Like it's been 2 years. I haven't seen my parents now. Starts to be long.
Yeah, definitely. BC before COVID. But, and actually last question. Once COVID has passed, what do you look forward to doing most? Like any events or?
Montreux.
Yeah.
I love going to Montreux. I always look forward to that festival. And I was really shocked to me when everything started in February last year. I was like, oh my God, they're going to have to cancel Montreux. And I love Montreux. Like I really look forward for that festival. So yeah, I'm looking forward to when everything gets normal and they actually go back to the normal structure that they used to have.
Yeah.
Definitely looking forward to that.
Yep, totally. Me too. Well, Victoria, thank you so much for your time this afternoon.
Thank you for inviting me. It's been a pleasure.
I hope you enjoyed this episode. Have you moved to a new country? What was the experience like for you? I would love to hear your story. Email me at saidah@fosterinclusion.com. That's S-A-I-D-A-H at fosterinclusion.com. You can find Victoria on Instagram at VictoriaGNCD. That's VictoriaGNCD. And Foster Inclusion now has an Instagram account and a new Twitter handle. You can find us at Foster Inclusion. Bye!